The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Kilpatrick?
7:39 PM.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on February 21st of 2018. First faxed into three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunter Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board and administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school, and finally faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Kilpatrick, may we please have a roll call?
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Present.
Mrs. Brennan?
Present.
Mrs. Brooks?
Here.
Dr. Ferry?
Here.
Mr. Holliday?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. Lalowski?
Here.
Ms. Rodarbrugger?
Absent.
Thank you. Ms. Lalowski, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. McLaughlin, would you please serve as the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. And, Mr. Kilpatrick, can you please read the executive session?
Whereas while Senator Byron M. Barr, Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et cetera, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth nine types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in the executive session, i.e. without public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without public in attendance, shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege, to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible, without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing, hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, et cetera, attorney-client privilege personnel and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject matter will be made public at such time as a reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action will be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Kilpatrick. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foy. Second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Lalowski. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Dr. Foy. Second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Brennan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are back in executive session. Oh, sorry, we're back in regular session. Sorry. Good evening. Although our acting superintendent of schools, Ms. Michelle Cohen's contract is valid through March of 2019, the Clinton Township Board of Education began its search for new permanent superintendent of schools for the district in early September of 2018. The board felt that it was important to begin the search for many, many reasons. However, there are two main reasons why the board chose to begin the search this past September. First, we felt it was important to quickly identify the new permanent educational leader for stability and consistency purposes for our children and staff. We truly recognize the importance of this for our district. The second reason involved the district's strategic plan. The The district developed its five-year strategic plan almost 5 years ago. The plan goes through the end of this school year. So the board felt that it was very important to have our permanent educational leader in place prior to the development of our new five-year plan that will take place in January of 2019. And so the process began. I'd like to quickly go over the steps that the board went through to identify the appropriate candidate to be the educational leader of our district. We advertised for the position. We collected characteristics and data in focus groups and in a survey. We created interviewing committees. The board committee reviewed all the resumes. We identified candidates out of the entire pool. Everyone involved in the process signed confidentiality agreements. The committee then developed questions with the board and took the survey, or the input from the surveys and the focus groups, and developed questions. The board committee conducted first round of 7 individuals, and then the board committee and staff members interviewed finalists. The finalists gave a presentation to the board. We received input from our staff, and then the board selected its candidate, conducted a site visit of that particular candidate. So this, I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but this is the advertising process we went through. We yielded about 35 particular resumes from our advertising process. Again, we conducted stakeholder meetings, created surveys, had focus groups. Stakeholders included everything from parents to board office staff, members from the Clinton Township Foundation for Educational Excellence, the CTA leadership, parent advisory groups, the Clinton Township PTA, and members from the community. I just wanted to go over with you the results of the survey in addition to the results of the focus groups. There were 63 respondents. 81% or 51 of those that participated in providing us information self-identified as a parent of a child in the district. 6 or 9.5% identified as a teacher, and 2 identified as an administrator. We asked what qualities the superintendent should possess. 51% said support, appreciates, and respects teachers and staff. 37% wanted someone who was child-centered mindset. 32% wanted someone with classroom experience. 29% wanted a strong leader. And 27% wanted the ability to articulate a very clear vision. The areas of expertise that our stakeholders shared with us that they wanted to see in our new superintendent included supports the importance of developing the whole child, hiring quality administrators, teachers, and staff. 27% wanted a classroom teaching experience again, and the ability to build relationships. Experience that the superintendent should have, 56% wanted someone who could build rapport with staff, someone who had fiscal skills and budget experience, and knowledge of curriculum and development. What steps should the superintendent take when they start their job here? What are the first things they have to do as a superintendent? 76% of the people who responded said build rapport with administrators, teachers, and staff. 65% said to identify district strengths and weaknesses, and 43% said to establish a strategic plan. What obstacles to student achievement exist in the district, and what strategies should be put in place to overcome these obstacles? What characteristics and skills should the next superintendent possess? These are all things that were provided to everyone. And you'll see just consistency in people's responses. They want the need for stability and longevity in a superintendent. They want improved communication with all stakeholders. They want to be more committed to all learners and just not one segment of learners. They wanted to end the constant struggles with collective bargaining, ensure that Clinton Township remains a 21st century school district, and they wanted vertical articulation of curriculum and instruction across all grades. In response to what characteristics and skills the superintendent should possess, they wanted a commitment to Clinton Township and not let it be a stepping stone. They wanted an effective communicator and someone committed to building relationships, a good listener, someone who was humanistic and approachable, someone who had character and conviction, someone that could facilitate collective bargaining negotiations, had a vision, and the ability to be an effective manager and manage up. What education experience should the next superintendent possess? A commitment to lifelong learning is more important than a doctoral degree, was what the majority of folks said. They wanted experience as a veteran superintendent that wasn't something that was required. Currency in the field of education and administration. They want people to demonstrate that they are keeping abreast of the best practices and research in order to keep the district at the forefront of learning. And finally, they wanted someone with experience in implementing curriculum, instruction, and programming focused on serving the needs of all learners. What issues and concerns should the next superintendent of schools be addressing first? In their first year, communication and establishing presence in the school community, a commitment to Clinton Township through longevity in the position, the ability to manage up, repairing relationships and pulling everyone together, to create a culture of transparency and honesty, and to develop a unified vision for the district and be prepared to implement that vision for years to come. Now, before I introduce the candidate and we vote on who the next superintendent will be for the Clinton Township School District, I would like to thank the following people who were instrumental in the success of this process. Without them, the process would not have been so thorough, efficient, and effective. I'd first like to thank Mr. Richard Kilpatrick, our board secretary and business administrator, for his help in organizing all the communication with the candidates, coordinating the ads and their placement, being the point person for all prospective candidates, and for providing structure around each of the live interviews. So thank you, Mr. Kilpatrick.
You're welcome.
In addition, I'd like to thank another administrator, Mrs. Joanne Hinkle, acting director of special projects. She provided valuable input during the entire process for selecting our next superintendent. She also served as a liaison between the staff and the board and Mr. Kilpatrick as we coordinated all the interviewing processes and the surveys as well as the focus groups. So thank you, Ms. Hinkle. We had 8 staff members that participated in the second round of interviews, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to recognize them individually and thank them for their time and assistance in this very important process. I'd like to thank Ms. Kelly Hill, Ms. Mary Claire Spadone, Jennifer Sanders, Alexa Ingram, Judy Hammond, Elise Cohen, Tom Connolly, and Ruth Stee. I would also like to thank them for their very kind words they expressed in their emails to the board involving their participation in the search process. For example, thank you for the opportunity to join the panel. I found the experience to be enlightening, complete, and thorough. I trust the board will make the right decision. And that was from Ruth Stee, and Mary Claire Spadone and Kelly Hill wrote, we would like to thank you for including us in the interview process for the candidates, the superintendent. It was a very valuable experience and gives insight to the challenging task of choosing from several qualified candidates. We look forward to working with the new superintendent. Lastly, I would like to thank Beth Brooks, Robert Holliday, and Rachel McLaughlin. All three of these individuals put in a tremendous amount of hours and time as they served on the committee that developed the process and led the search for our new superintendents of schools. So thank you to all three of you. So now I'd like to move a motion, please. Whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education created a subcommittee to develop the process to fill the superintendent position, And whereas the board subcommittee developed a thorough process that identified numerous qualified candidates for superintendent. And whereas the subcommittee process included participation of the community, teachers, and staff to provide input on the qualities and qualifications they thought appropriate for the next superintendent. And whereas the subcommittee's initial interview were of six candidates they felt qualified to fill the position. Whereas the subcommittee selected three finalist candidates to be interviewed by both the full board and a committee of staff. And whereas the board and the committee of staff members convened a meeting to review and discuss the candidates they each interviewed. Whereas the board made a selection based on input from their meeting with the committee of staff and information gathered during the search process. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education hereby names Mrs. Michelle Cohn, the superintendent of schools, effective November 20th, 2018, for the remainder of the year 2019. Also, be it resolved that the board approves Mrs. Cohn's contract as presented and approved by the Hunter County Executive Superintendent for the period beginning November 20th, 2018 through June 30th of 2022. Mr. Kilpatrick, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Yes. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mr. Holliday. Now roll call, please.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodago is absent. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
It's a surprise.
I know. Thank you. The Board of Education is very excited to approve the appointment of Mrs. Michelle Cohn as a superintendent of schools for the Clinton Township School District. She brings over 30 years of experience in education to her new role as the educational leader of our district. Mrs. Cohn is a veteran administrator in Clinton Township, as she has been employed here for almost 4 years. Her years of experience in education, coupled with her existing knowledge of our staff, curriculum, special education department, policies, procedures, parents, and community, provides her with a unique set of qualities and an advantage over others to successfully lead our district. She provides the background, continuity, and consistency that we need here in Clinton Township. We are both lucky and thrilled to have her lead our district. She holds a Bachelor's of Arts degree in education from the College of New Jersey and a Master's of Educational Leadership from Centenary University. Currently, Mrs. Cohn is a doctoral candidate for educational leadership at Centenary University, where she is researching school climate and its effects on student performance. Prior to her arrival in Clinton Township, Mrs. Cohn came from nearby Tewksbury Township schools, where she taught for 27 years. While in Tewksbury Township, Mrs. Cohn served on a variety of school committees and undertook leadership roles. She was a member of the district's Council of Instruction and the Middle School Schedule Redesign Committee. She developed curriculum and mentored staff in Understanding by Design model and the TeachScape pilot program. Mrs. Cohn also served as New Jersey AS testing coordinator for the district. In 2010, she was recognized as Educator of the Year. Mrs. Cohn first joined the Clinton Township School District Administrative Team as a supervisor of staff evaluations and student programs. In 2016, she became the Vice Principal of Clinton Township Middle School. As a Vice Principal of Clinton Township Middle School, Mrs. Cohn was involved in the daily operations of the school, as well as the coordinator of PARC and New Jersey AS testing, and initiatives such as the one-to-one Chromebook at the middle school. Mrs. Cohn served on several committees, including the IRNRS, CIP, and DCC, while at the district middle school. Mrs. Cohn also served as the administrative liaison to the Clinton Township Foundation for the Educational Excellence since 2015. In 2017, Mrs. Cohn was promoted to the Director of Special Projects for the district, where she collaborated with district superintendent and administration in the development of curriculum and professional development, budgeting, hiring, and staffing of personnel, development of policy, coordinating technology resources, She oversaw the district testing and evaluation of teachers and district staff. Mrs. Cohen also orchestrated and designed the reorganization of the district last spring and implemented the successful execution of this project this past summer. The reorganization has saved an estimated $800,000 and improved the educational opportunity that the district's children receive. This entire reorganization was completed without the need to reduce the number of employed staff. During the interviewing process, Mrs. Cohen made it very apparent that her decision-making is very child-centric. Recognizing that everything that is done in district will impact the social, emotional, and educational well-being of a child that attends our schools. She believes that it is very important to celebrate the essence of childhood while educating our students and preparing them for the future. The Board of Education will coordinate meet-and-greet opportunities for parents, members of the community, and members of the district staff to formally speak with Mrs. Cohen. Dates for the scheduled meet-and-greets will be sent out to parents and members of our staff and to the community and placed on the district website. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our new Superintendent of Schools, Mrs. Michelle Cohen.
Thank you. Let me begin by saying how pleased and honored I am to be named Superintendent of Schools for Clinton Township. Clinton Township has had a rich tradition of providing high-quality education to its students, and I look forward to continuing the tradition by offering rigorous academic educational partnerships with a supportive environment that also nurtures the social and emotional development of all of its children in this community. My goal is to continue to move the district forward, setting high standards for educational excellence. The first step in this process will be to create the creation of a new strategic plan, where our initial partnerships will be formed as all stakeholders work together to create a vision for our school district. This will include areas of curriculum and instruction, technology, facilities and finance, as well as communication. This is an exciting time, and I am thrilled to be instrumental in setting the course for our district over the next 5 years. It's my privilege to work with a strong staff and administrative team, as well as dedicated parents, but more importantly, to lead a district that looks forward and creates an engaging and dynamic educational environment for the children of Clinton Township. I'd like to thank all of those who were involved with this process. There were many. I would also like to thank the Board of Education for this opportunity and your support throughout the entire summer and now, and for your confidence in me in taking on this role. Thank you very much. Thank you.
As usual, we have a very busy agenda this evening. First on the agenda is a segment that will be conducted between the Board of Education and Mrs. Gwen Thornton, our New Jersey School Board's field representative. During this portion of the meeting, Mrs. Thornton will provide the mandated annual board ethics training, which is mandated under state law. When the training and review is complete, Ms. Thornton will then help the board establish its annual board goals. Board goals established tonight will help the board to provide the appropriate oversight to the district. Each of these items mentioned tonight are required again by law to occur on an annual basis. I'd like to introduce Ms. Gwen Thornton to the public and to the board this evening. As I mentioned a moment ago, she is our field representative from the New Jersey School Boards Association. She is, unless it has changed, is the direct field service support for Hunterdon County, Middlesex, Somerset, and New Jersey.
We no longer have Middlesex.
No longer Middlesex.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you're not sad, right?
She comes to us with an impressive background and years of experience and knowledge in education, with school boards, governance, district policy, and the list goes on. Ms. Thornton has served on boards of education in Burlington, Camden, and Gloucester counties. prior to joining the New Jersey School Boards Association, Ms. Thornton was the president of the Bridgewater Regional School District Board of Education. She is also a former high school social studies teacher. Ms. Thornton, welcome to our community.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I did have this already discussed with us.
Actually.
But I thought it would be helpful tonight to just spend a couple of moments just sort of reviewing the role and responsibilities of the board member. And since you have a brand new superintendent, I thought it might be helpful just to sort of take a few minutes and review that piece of it as we move forward. So I just wanted to talk about the four functions of a Board of Education this evening, what the role of an individual board member is and a superintendent, and then talk about that within the framework of the ethics and the code, and then do some goal setting. So it's a very ambitious agenda. I'm probably going to talk fairly fast because I know you have a full agenda to deal with as well this evening. So I want to be sensitive to your needs to conduct your business. So truly, this is not a picture of Cotillion, but it is a reflection of the board's role. And that is that you mainly provide oversight. So, you know, it used to be, we used to call it helicopter. You know, you would take the 40,000-foot view until we talked about helicopter parents. And it was no longer a good idea to use that analogy. So I'm opting for the balcony, and I'm a parent and a grandparent, and I was probably one of the worst offenders, so it's not a dig at parents. I have four kids and six grandkids, so I get it. But as a board member, your role is different, and that is you provide the view from the top oversight. You're not involved down on the dance floor. You're up there watching, making sure there's music, making sure the lighting is good, the band is terrific, and people are having a good time, okay, but not doing the daily activities. So you really have that sort of strategic view where you look over the entire district, focusing on the needs of all of your community and looking long term, which I know as you begin to think about a new strategic plan is something that you're going to be doing yet again. Which is a wonderful opportunity to really optimize your resources, both staff and finance, facilities, and really look at the curriculum and instructional program to make sure we're preparing students for the 21st century, even though we're already sort of in that 21st century, as things continue to evolve and change. And your administration is more tactical, and again, they're responsible for the oversight of the entire district. And then your operational is your staff. They are the ones on a day-to-day basis are with your children, working hard to make sure that they're well prepared for the future. So one of the things I always ask my board members is, how many board members does it take to screw in a light bulb?
None?
Oh, you must know something I don't.
It's not their job.
It's not their job. What is your job?
To watch.
No, your job is to say, let there be light. And then your superintendent and your administration will figure out the kind of light, how much light, and you just need to make sure that you're providing the resources to enable them to do that. And it's a little bit silly, and I know it's old-fashioned, but it really does, to me, hit home about what your role is, and that is to really have established goals, to have a shared vision, to be able to help move the district forward by providing support for that. So you really are the people who provide a core sense of values that reflect your community's desires and develop collaboratively your vision and your mission, which again, something you're going to do again with all of your stakeholders and your strategic plan. And then you're going to have goals that will take you out over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. Tonight we're going to talk about your annual goals, but once you have a strategic plan, you'll be able to pull your annual goals right out of your strategic plan, which is one of the reasons to have it. And then those goals drive the goals of your principals and supervisors and directors, and they then in turn set goals with their teaching staff and the line staff so that everyone's goals are aligned and you're all rowing in the water with the same oars going in the same direction and not in seven different directions. So it really is a unifying force for the district when done well. Okay? And you should really be focusing around outcomes, not the process. The how it happens is the responsibility of the administration.
the what is the responsibility of the board, what you want to see done, what should student outcomes look like, what they should be learning, and how well do we want them to achieve. Okay? So essentially, you focus on four areas. Policy, you develop policy, regulations for implementation with fidelity of those policies comes through your administration. You ensure that there's a quality program of instruction and a co-curricular program to provide for the educational needs of all students. And then you provide for the effective management of the district through budget development, through monitoring of your fiscal situation within the district, and through evaluation of the superintendent against the progress toward those goals that you have collaboratively set. And lastly, it's about providing two-way communications with your community, always an ongoing challenge, especially today in the world of social media. It's become very challenging. But I thought it would also be helpful to talk a little bit about your limitations in what you do, and that is the recognition that as an individual board member, you have no authority except when you are seated at a duly advertised, convened meeting of the Board of Education. So you have no authority in your community whatsoever unless you are sitting here at this table. And you as an individual board member cannot speak for the board, take actions on behalf of the board, unless the board expressly authorizes you to do so. But that's an important piece to remember. Recognizing the importance of chain of command, that you guide both parents and community members, and remembering yourself to follow that chain of command starting at the most immediate level to where an issue or concern develops, so that if it's a classroom issue, the parent directly deals with the teacher first, and then the principal, and then an assistant principal or an assistant superintendent, depending on your structure, until it would reach the board. But it's important for board members to recall that there is that chain of command as well. Okay? Keeping in mind, that's all very true, but also that your officers, both your president and your vice president, are but one of nine and have no more or less authority than any of the rest of you. The only difference is that the president presides over public meetings, and they work with the superintendent to develop the agenda for your board meetings, with the president taking the board's agenda items to the meeting for setting on the agenda, working with the superintendent to set your meeting agendas. But the president has no more authority than any of the rest other eight of you, and I think that's important. You work by committees, and committees only have the authority to recommend to your Board of Education. Committees do not bind the board, they do not make policy, they cannot construct anything in and of themselves. They simply move recommendations forward, suggestions, discussion items to the full Board of Education. So I think it's just a quick review and refresher. I know a lot of you are experienced board members, some of you are newer, but I always think it's helpful just to take a few moments and sort of review that piece. In terms of your superintendent, as you know, she is the chief advisor to the board. She is the consultant on all of the educational pieces and operational pieces that run through the district. She should be providing you with all fulsome briefings on all kinds of information that require board action so that you feel informed sufficiently in order to take action. And she evaluates and assesses policy and implementations and makes recommendations to you if changes are necessary, whether it's in staffing, curriculum, whether it's in facilities utilization, budget development, all of those pieces the superintendent is responsible for. They're the executive officer who runs the day-to-day operations of the district and are accountable to you, the board, and guides staff through personal action, delegation and supervisory activities, and is responsible for recommending, recruiting, retaining high quality instructional staff for your district, which as you know makes a huge impact on classroom instruction. She's also the educational leader of your community and should be recognized as such. She should remain active, which I know she is, in professional development, familiar with current practices and best practices in education, and bringing new ideas to the board for their consideration within the district. Okay? So in terms of that relationship, it's important that the board recognize and respect the professionalism and the role of the superintendent making those recommendations, and not to confuse your responsibility in developing policy and providing oversight with the day-to-day operation of the school district. Having a very clear understanding of what your role is allows for the effective operation of the district. Most districts that run exceedingly well are those districts where people understand what their role is and stay in their lane. This is not the time to color outside the lines, okay? The chief school administrator needs to keep the board informed at all times, effectively and efficiently implement all of the district's policies, recognize that the board is the final authority and conveys it to the staff, and on both sides, neither should ever surprise the other, okay? That will go a long way to ensuring your success. So just in summary, you know, what is your work? Defining your purpose, your vision, your mission, setting direction through your goals, aligning those with your community to make sure that as a board, you are reflecting your community's vision for what it is they want for their children and making sure you're turning that vision into a reality. Establishing policy and using it to delegate authority, monitoring performance and student achievement, and then being accountable for your procedures, processes, and being transparent as you hold yourselves accountable for that process as well. In your packet on the second page, right behind the PowerPoint, which I included for you, is a copy of the Code of Ethics. And I am not going to go through and read all of those points of the Code of Ethics. I think most of you are pretty familiar with it. I just thought it might be helpful to just talk about some various scenarios and then whether you believe they're an ethical issue, and if so, why, and if not, why not. So consider a board member who goes directly to the guidance secretary and demands copies of SAT reports. Now, we write this for all districts. I know you don't have a high school. You can substitute park reports in there if you'd like, because I know you don't have SATs here. Is that a problem? Is that an ethical issue?
Are they acting as a board member or a parent?
A board member.
It's administering. That's administration. That's administration, not oversight.
It is not. The chain of command. You have one employee in your school district. That's your superintendent. If a board member has a question about test scores and wants to see that material and that information, you need to work through the board president, who will work with the superintendent to provide the board the information that it needs. But you do not have the authority to direct any member of your staff, okay? It is not the board's role, and you should not be interacting with staff in that capacity, okay? A board sends a letter to the superintendent and the board complaining about the chief school administrator's treatment of his wife, a district employee. A problem?
Yes.
Conflict of interest, number one. Number two, that district employee has available to them a process by which they can get attention to their concerns through their association, and so one should never be involved in one spouse's employment, whether it's in a district or any place else. But in this instance, in a district, it is a real conflict. A board member sends a confidential memo to other board members criticizing a principal's performance. Absolutely cannot be done, okay? You only evaluate one person, that's the superintendent. The superintendent holds staff, all remaining staff, accountable for their performance, okay? Personnel have certain rights to privacy, confidentiality. This is violative of that. And, you know, using the email to send a confidential memo is not a good idea either. Keep in mind that all of that documentation is openable. And so it would expose not only you personally, but the board to various liability issues. A board member homeschools his children and bases every decision on reducing spending. Cheap maybe, but not an ethical problem, okay? Because you could never really establish that that's why someone makes a decision or not, okay? A board member uses her position to gain access to a forum that her son was not afforded to other candidates who had to go through an application and vetting process. Huge problem, okay? Board members are not entitled to any kind of benefit that is not available to anyone else in the school district. So sometimes board members will say, can I vote to approve a field trip for the fourth grade? My daughter or son's in the fourth grade. Yes, you can, because your child's not deriving any benefit that is any better or any less than any other child in the fourth grade. But in this particular instance, the person was looking for special treatment for their child, which they're simply not entitled to and would be a violation. A board member put a sign up on their lawn to vote no during a school board member election. Problem?
No.
No, you can do that. You don't give up all of your rights as a citizen when you become a board member, although some of your freedom of speech is indeed limited by the need to maintain confidentiality of district information. And because something is a legal issue or not a legal issue and not an ethical issue, in which this is not, one does, though, have to consider perception of the public, because perception is reality, and the public might not recognize that you can do that. You can, of course. And then the other piece is, after the election, no matter how it turns out, you have to stop electioneering and begin governing, and so you just need to be aware how your colleagues might feel regarding your posting of signs for various people and incumbents and so forth. So just because you can doesn't mean you should. So just keep that in mind as well. A board president unilaterally issued a rights notice to the school business administrator. It's a board decision. Okay? Board decision. Board member recorded executive session discussion and disclosed it to her attorney. That is a problem, even though it's her attorney and the attorney has to maintain client-attorney confidentiality. The board member was not at liberty to disclose closed session information to an attorney who is not a member of the board. So when we talk about maintaining confidentiality, we don't mean it's okay to not with your attorney or your significant other. It means you cannot disclose confidential information to anyone. A board member sent a letter to the superintendent criticizing their performance, sent a copy to the state board and the executive county superintendent. Holy moly, no. You absolutely cannot do that. Again, you are required to support and protect school personnel in the proper performance of their duties. And so sending it out to the state board and the county superintendent exceeds your ability to do that. Never a good idea. A board member requested information directly from the supervisor of curriculum and instruction and responded in a demeaning and harassing way when the information was not available. Absolutely not. Administration is not required to act only on the direct action of a majority of the full board. So individually, as an individual board member, you cannot request information from an administrator, from a principal, from any staff member. Only the full board has the ability to have your superintendent act, who will then carry out whatever task is at hand that might require. A board member went into school, took pictures of open windows and debris in the bathroom, and sent them to a reporter. I will point out these are all things that have happened and that the School Ethics Commission has ruled on. None of these are made up. I don't have to make these up. These are actually real incidences that have taken place with board members across the state. And the answer is, only after the failure of an administrative solution would a board member even consider doing this, but it would be discussed by the full board and then taken care of. But certainly not going to the paper, to the press, because you're required to refer all complaints to the chief school administrator and only get involved as a board after the failure of an administrative solution. And in this instance, they went directly to the newspaper. Okay? Never a good idea. Okay? In terms of conflict of interest, you have to know when to recuse yourself. so we're just going to talk really briefly about that. You would have to recuse yourself if there is a benefit to you or your immediate family because of a business interest, a financial involvement, personal involvement that creates a benefit, again, that is different than the benefit given to anyone in a particular group, service or employment that may prejudice your independent judgment. So if there's ever a question, you can either check with your board attorney on a prospective basis before the issue hits the agenda and you have to make a decision, or if you're uncertain, our recommendation is always to err on the side of caution and recuse yourself. You can never create a problem by not participating, whereas participation could potentially generate an issue. Better to err on the side of caution than to not, okay? So an immediate family member definition, so you know who would benefit, would be your spouse, civil union, or domestic partner, a dependent child, meaning they depend on you for their livelihood, and residing in the same household with you, okay? Not an emancipated minor. In recent advisory opinions, the School Ethics Commission has used a more expansive definition of relative than is included in the ethics law. In the ethics law, only your spouse, civil union, domestic partner, or dependent child are your relatives. Under the nepotism law, which was passed well after the ethics law was enacted, they had an expansive definition that includes all of these folks, and I'm not going to read them to you, but it includes a whole host of folks, probably relatives you haven't talked to perhaps in several years, but in any case, it's whether they're related to you or your spouse or partner by blood, marriage, or adoption. And in the ethics law, it was just you, right, or related to you by marriage. Recent opinions have expanded that definition to include others. And you might say to me, well, Gwen, how do I know what another is? You don't. But as we go through this, and board members get advisory opinions and they're made public, we gain a better understanding of what others means. So it now includes first cousins, cohabitating partners. I don't have a number of years, what constitutes that situation. So again, you know, is it a long term? Is it a short term? I can't answer that, and I'm really not being funny. We have also advisory advice now that ex-spouses are also considered potential conflict issues, because if you are a parent and there's child support or alimony involved, there's a financial involvement that might create a prejudicial situation. So that definition of others continues to evolve, and you just need to be mindful of it. For a while they were including second cousins. I don't know about you, I have trouble with my first cousins, knowing who they all are. Some of you probably are closer to your next door neighbors than your second cousin or even first cousins. So it's a problem. Under nepotism, the district cannot hire a relative of a board member or a superintendent. If you have an employee that was hired in your district, a family member, prior to your being elected to the board, prior to 2008, they're grandfathered, okay? It's fine. But now you can't participate in any way in terms and conditions of employment, and you would have to recuse yourself from voting on their employment. Your chief school administrator cannot recommend hiring anyone who's a family member of the board, and a district administrator may not exercise direct or indirect authority over a relative of another administrator. Now, there are some exceptions. There is an exception to the law to employ a relative for a position for someone who is the solely qualified individual available. In other words, they teach AP calculus, physics, and Mandarin, and they're the only person, so then you might get the exception to hire them, okay? So it's rare that you would find a relative who is so qualified that no one else could compete, which is why I'm using that sort of multiple certified example, because every high school in America would be trying to hire them, okay? Personnel, if you're a school official, which you are, with a relative working or others working in the district, you cannot be involved in, and you just all did, so it doesn't apply here, but if you had a family member employed in the district, you could not participate in the superintendent search, you could not vote to approve a new superintendent, you could not evaluate the superintendent or work on a contract for a superintendent. You're completely removed from that process. Okay? In terms of collective bargaining, this is the current chart. Again, you know, you can follow this. My ultimate piece is that you always should check with your board attorney if you think you might be conflicted out. So if you have a family member that works in the district, you can't participate in negotiations and you can't vote. If you have a family member who works out of district but in a similar or same statewide union, you can't participate in negotiations, but ultimately you can vote on the contract here after all of the terms and conditions of the initial agreement are reached, including the salary guide, you could vote on it. If you have a child who's not a dependent, meaning they're emancipated, and they work out of the district, you can participate in negotiations, and you could vote on the contract. Okay? If you've been endorsed by the Teachers Association during election, immediately preceding negotiations, you are out of negotiations for a full year. If you are supervised by employees in the unit, you can't participate. If you are not in the unit but linked in terms of employment, administrators' contracts can't be linked to teacher contracts, but in reality, in some fashion, they typically are, so you need to just be mindful of that. And if your immediate family member has heightened union involvement in another district, either they're the building rep, they're a union officer, or they're on the negotiating team in that other district, you would then be removed from negotiations, okay? Doctrine of necessity, I'm not going to take time on this. If you don't have sufficient numbers of board members to approve contracts because of conflicts, you can invoke the doctrine of necessity to enable you to do that. The other piece that has really come up in the last couple of years that is different than when I sat on the board are restrictions around volunteerism for Board of Education members. So there are a whole host of recent decisions that place limitations on board members volunteering in the district because the SEC believes they're inconsistent with the role of a board member. And the easiest way for me to explain it is you should not be involved with any kind of financial involvement with the district. So if you belong to the Booster Club, don't be the treasurer, okay? Don't handle district funds of any way. Don't direct staff. Don't take direction from staff. Any kind of one-off volunteering is fine. Chaperoning a field trip one day. Going to National Honor Society induction, that's fine too. You can volunteer in your park and recs programs. They're wholly separate from the districts, but you can no longer be a volunteer coach in a school district if you sit on the Board of Education because you are interacting with staff, you're also guiding students, and so it's really about the contact time with students and staff and or handling funding having to do with the district, even if it's student funds for play tickets, prom tickets, hot dogs and hamburgers at the Booster Club stand. You can still be an officer in the PTO, PTA and be on the board. You can still be part of your educational association and be on the board. You would have to recuse yourself if any issue came up regarding the foundation or the PTO. You would have to not participate in those discussions, but you can still be a board member. And they have held you can do that. So again, it's supervision, management, direction of personnel and funds. They do not want you enmeshed in the building and active in the day-to-day operations of the district. And as often is the case, you know, one or two overzealous board members who took it too far got us this, which is unfortunate, especially in some of my smaller districts where the same people tend to do all of the volunteer work or a lot of it, and so it is really hampered. A lot of folks, and I may have told you this story, part of it began with a retired gentleman who was a board member and who had a stamp collecting club. Philately is not huge anymore. You know, your grandparents probably had stamp collections, but it's not something that is a big hobby anymore. It used to be. And this gentleman loved doing his stamp club. And essentially, he was told he had to stop doing it with these advisory decisions. So he resigned from the board and decided it was more important because the kids loved it. They were little kids, like second graders. And he said, if I don't do it, who's going to do it with these little kids? So he made a choice. And it's unfortunate to put board members in that position. I hardly think that, you know, a stamp collector with second graders is doing anything, but probably educating them about lots of fun stuff. So sometimes it's sad. They've also had some recent decisions around interview committees. Board members can, in very narrow circumstances, subject to the approval of the superintendent, participate in senior level administrative job interviews. But that participation is observation and assessments. It is not participation in the questioning. You can sit, you can listen, observe, provide your assessment, but you may not participate, and this is only with the CSA's recommendation. And it's interesting because there is also another ethics decision that remains in force that says you can't do exit interviews. So how they align your ability to do one on one hand and not do the other on the other hand is not consistent to me, but it is what they have decided, okay? So just to wrap it up, we really believe you should like keep a running list as your business administrator of potential conflicts so that they can be reviewed by your board attorney. And just keep reading school board notes because they continue to issue advisory decisions. And you always want to make sure that you're up to date with all of those. And, you know, the School Ethics Act really does provide the minimum level of expectation of the public, I mean of board members, to retain the trust of their public and the confidence in your school district, which is critically important to your success. So questions, because I ran through it really quickly because I know you have a full agenda.
Okay, so this is a little specific, but I noticed on our page 8, the collective bargaining table. When I was voted onto the board, my daughter was independent, but also a teacher in the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
Since that time, she has started paying rent, and she no longer gets benefits through us. She has her own benefits, so she is no longer
a dependent.
But she is in my household. She's just paying rent. But does that change my status?
I will check with your board attorney.
Okay. Thank you.
I would think if she's paying rent, it's a rentee and renter agreement and not a parental relationship. If you can document, I mean, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just suggesting someone might say to you, okay, you need to document this so that they, because.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions? Okay. So our last task this evening is to develop some district goals. I think here you call them board goals. I would call them district goals for the school year that's remaining to help provide guidance and support to your superintendent, your new superintendent. If I move this way, I have to stay in front of the mic, right, because you're taping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't want to go too far. Can you all see this if I turn it? Mm-hmm. So I would think that at a minimum, one of your goals ought to be the development of your strategic plan. Yes?
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about that. Thoughts from the board on other things that you think would be essential?
I think one of the things that we've done well over the course of the years is we have a policy 164.1, which is a set of core values to which how we operate with one another. And
And it's basically the foundation for core values of how we work together. And I would like to suggest to the board that we continue to support and operate under the core values that the board established on November 19th, 2012.
Thoughts? Does anyone object to that?
No.
Okay. Well, I just, you're never this quiet. What else? One of the pieces that I heard your new superintendent speak about, or perhaps it was both you and Maria, talked about social emotional development and learning for all students. So perhaps a goal around ensuring that your curriculum and co-curricular programs support the the social emotional development of all learners, of all students.
Yeah.
Can somebody just tell me what I just said?
As a question, when we talk about their social, emotional, and behavioral well-being, I'm curious, why is academic considered separate from that? It doesn't really, it says, you know, it's co-curricular, it's a co-curricular and curricular programming that supports their academic, social, emotional, and behavioral, because one of the things that I wanted to ask is, would that include an evaluation, say, of talking to the high schools and making sure that when our students get there, that they're not either underachieving in any particular area or overachieving. I seem to recall there was something about grammar at one time, and we instituted something stronger to strengthen that. But would that be part of the development of the curricular programming?
I think that would be in the day-to-day of what Michelle would do, and this is just the oversight portion of what we would be looking at to make sure it's being done.
Okay, and does this include the special needs students and, you know, and students with special support needs outside of academic arena?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it also cover then the new, with Pop going away, the Dodo, the new expectations for student achievement, or what that New Jersey, will that be covered under this then?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be separate, it's not separate.
When we can insert.
We've got a lot of A's and B's, and it's going to be a long list. I just want to make sure we kind of know what that means.
Yeah. And I think we can flesh a lot of this out in Michelle's, you know, once we establish the district goals, then we have to work on Michelle's goals for the year, right? And so the nitty-gritty portions of this, of the day-to-day operations, of how this will actually work, is Michelle's responsibility, right?
Yeah, so we're going to say first, we would like you to assess what the specific needs are in the educational, social, emotional, behavioral arenas for the student body, and then recommend to us how it is that we're going to go about
And then she provides
supporting them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let them be light.
Pretty much, let them be light. I think, you know, if it's any help, the social, emotional learning initiatives have really developed in response, I think, to a perception of the overemphasis around academic achievement, perhaps to the, in particularly in mathematics and English language arts, perhaps to the exclusion of some of the broader based areas of curriculum that New Jersey had always really excelled around in terms of the fine arts, in terms of social studies, in terms of character development, and also as sort of a response and reaction to the pressures and tensions, particularly at the high school level, rising anxiety levels.
I don't even think what we're seeing here, and I just said we don't even need to wait to the high school level to see.
Well, I'm just trying to say where sort of the genesis of this particular initiative in school, which we're seeing across school districts, K to 12, But particularly, there's a lot of emphasis at the high school level right now, just given the increasing pressures on kids at the high school level as they go up. And maybe testing in kindergarten is the start of that. Who knows?
I think I get what you mean. It's, you know, it's not enough to teach all the kids how to work independently when with, you know, we know in the future they'll need some of that, and they'll need some of the ability to work collaboratively. So we have to find a balance across apparently opposing requirements for these students, right? Yeah. So that's why I was concerned that we're doing an assessment, that we're making sure that when we hand off these students, that we're making sure that we've done everything in our power to address
absolutely
the needs that they consider important at their level.
Is there an equivalent for this for the staff, in that kind of environment for staff development? Is that board goal? To create an environment, looking at the survey, the environment that supports development of staff, for the, it supports the kids with the same kind of concept, right?
I didn't hear what you said, I'm sorry.
So the emotional, et cetera, of the kids, but there's also the environment that for the staff, that is one of the development of staff, et cetera.
Right.
To support the social.
Obviously, I think that social emotional learning, professional development for the staff that aligns to whatever kinds of programmatic initiatives you create or end up implementing is absolutely essential to the success of that.
It's just becoming a big bucket, it seems like, though. Mm-hmm. So.
Mindfulness, for example, is one of the initiatives that we've seen implemented for staffs in many districts. And in fact, in Asbury Park, where they initiated as part of social emotional learning, I'm just blown away by this, but it's really true, they implemented yoga for kids, and they reduced their suspension rate by about 40%.
A lot of districts are implementing meditation as well.
Meditation, mindfulness, yoga, I mean, those kinds of more contemplative, calming kinds of activities. It's an interesting, but I always think any time, to your point, Dr. Foy, any time you implement any kind of new programming, you have to ensure that you have professional development that goes along with that so that your staff is able to be at the forefront of that implementation. Otherwise, it's not going to be successful. That's quite clear. So, other goal areas that you would like to highlight or focus on, if any?
We've spent a lot of time looking at our declining enrollment, and so I think we need to continue to look at sustainable revenue generating programs to make sure that our educational programs are sound.
I'm just going to sort of abbreviate it right now, just in terms of developing sustainable revenue programs to support the district. I understand it's through. Yes.
Continue to support the improvement of school security.
Continuing to support and improve school safety and security for student and staff, both for students and staff. And I think that's an evergreen. You probably noted that the statewide question
was approved by voters, and so there should be some additional funding, although the definition around how much of that funding is for vocational technical schools and how much is for safety and security is not yet defined. By the fact that we're at least going to get something for that, which I think is helpful. So, and I think that's a very difficult area, because oftentimes the improvements that you are making, you cannot share, because if you share them, it defeats the purpose of making the improvement. And so sometimes I think it's very difficult for your community to know that you are continually working on upgrading your safety and security because you can't share it, because then it defeats the purpose, right? Because you never knew who. Anyway, so anything else?
What do you mean we can't give out the passwords? Sucks.
Yeah, I know. No, well, you could, but I would not want to be the person that did that. I know you're kidding. I'm kidding.
I'd also like to suggest maybe we consider that we helped provide oversight and support Michelle and her staff in evaluating and improving the efficiencies relative to her staffing and her scheduling.
You want that as a goal? I mean, that's part of your role as oversight as a board. I'm not sure that, do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's just, it's part of what you're going to have to do no matter what. I mean, I'm just conscious of the fact that you don't want to get too many of these.
Yeah. Self-defeating.
Yeah. And it gets to be, and since that's part of your role and responsibility is to provide oversight, I would think that that's part of what your curriculum and instructional committee is looking at on an ongoing basis, providing feedback to the board so that the full board can indeed monitor that process. I think that would be the more appropriate way to approach that. Okay. And I'm mindful that we're already up to five.
Yep.
The board should probably try and make our public meetings more efficient for the public.
Okay. I think these are district goals. In other words, these are the goals that you're going to evaluate your superintendent against. Mm-hmm. She is responsible along.
Well, I'm talking about the strategic plan and not necessarily superintendent goals. Are you talking, are these district goals to manage our superintendent, or are these district goals for the board to act? Because I'm seeing these stuff that's not necessarily for the superintendent.
Development of the strategic plan should be a collaborative goal between the board and the superintendent.
No, I understand, but.
I just want to run through them. Continuing to operate and support the core values, to me, is a board goal. The superintendent is a member of the board. You're not going to evaluate her on this particular one. Okay. Supporting the co-curricular program that support SEL, that's a district goal because you're asking her to.
I understand all that.
Okay. Well, I think here's my problem. I want to make that clear only because your district tends to call these board goals, and they're really district goals, okay, that you're going to evaluate your superintendent against.
Well, no. We're going to evaluate the district against this. We're going to evaluate our superintendent on the specific superintendent goals we set.
But these should be, the superintendent goals you set should be the goals for the superintendent to move the district forward, and that's what these are.
There's going to be a separate evaluation of the superintendent where she is going to give us her goals, and then we're going to give her goals.
Are they merit goals?
Which are basically based on performance, which is driving the district forward.
Right, but that's why, okay. So that's where the confusion lies. If you want these to be your district goals, that's what your superintendent should be evaluated on. If you want to call them superintendent goals and you want them to be separate and apart from this, otherwise, how many sets of goals do you have?
So this is basically then, in your opinion, this is really more for the district and how the superintendent's going to run this district.
Correct.
And not necessarily board function.
Correct. The only one that I see as a board function, again, is to continue to operate and support your core values.
Mm-hmm.
Is with me a board function. Now, your superintendent's a member of the board, so she's included in that, but she's not going to be evaluated against that.
Okay.
I would say she would be evaluated against developing sustainable revenue programs to support the district. You can't go out and solicit funding for your district. That's not the role of the board.
No, I understand.
Right, so that would be done by administration. Same thing with the safety and security piece. You've said, this is our vision, that we continue to improve safety and security for the full district, to ensure that our kids are safe and our staff is safe learning environment. That's the responsibility of administration, not the board. So if you want to talk about the efficiency of your board meetings, that they are either easier for your community to attend, they're more timely, whatever it is that you have identified, that becomes a board goal. That's the board's responsibility. Anything around a board process or procedure is a board goal, not a district goal. You're not going to hold the superintendent accountable for making your meetings more efficient and effective with the public.
Okay. But can you do the core values, which the board member, the superintendent's only a member, is not really something to...
You would not hold her accountable for that.
So maybe that one shouldn't be on this list, if that's...
I would tell you, I don't...
If you're, if it's all about the superintendent, maybe we should take that down.
I don't really think that that belongs as a district goal, except that I think it is valuable to articulate it, to talk about it with the public so that they understand it. But that, to me, is part of your board goal. So your board goals would be, if you wanted, the score value one, the second piece you identified, and we didn't really talk about what you mean, but in terms of improving the efficiency of your board meetings would be a board goal. That you would hold yourselves accountable at the end of the year for what did we do to improve our processes and procedures. You always do a self-assessment. Your board is really good at making sure you do that. One of the purposes of doing a board self-evaluation is to say, what did we do really well? What do we need, where do we need to improve? How can we be better? How can we be more effective? And what we suggest is you evaluate your superintendent and you finish that by July 1. Then you do your board self-evaluation to hold yourselves accountable for how did we do? And what else can we do to be more supportive to help the district achieve?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So
if that's something that you want to, I mean, I don't know that you all want to set board goals tonight.
Well,
but you can talk about it.
Yeah.
And then we can move forward from there. Okay?
Very good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Happy holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. If I don't see you, have a lovely holiday season.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. We'll get this from you in a memo, correct? Great, we'll get this from you in a memo.
Yes,
we'll
get it back to me in a memo.
Okay, great. Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Clinton Township Board of Education would like to take this moment to recognize, celebrate, and thank our amazing educational service professionals for their endless dedication to the children in our community. We would like to recognize our paraeducators, food service workers, clerical service providers, our health and student services staff, and our custodial workers. Each of you, on an individual basis and together, make the educational experience that our students receive whole. So on behalf of the entire Clinton Township Board of Education, I would like to thank all of you for what you do for our students each day. Mrs. Cohn, our superintendent of schools, and Mr. Kilpatrick, our board secretary and business administrator, started developing the district's budget for the 2019-2020 school year. They presented to the Facilities and Finance Committee a very detailed action plan and committee dates. Additional budget meetings for the board will, as usual, be required. In addition to the monthly board and committee meetings that are normally held in January, February, March, the board can expect potentially three additional committee meetings in January, two additional committee meetings in February, possibly one additional board meeting in February and one in March. Any new dates in this regard will be announced in January. The district develops a needs-based budget, or also called a zero-based budget, so there's a lot of detail and work that goes into the development of this annual budget. We found that this is the most reasonable way to provide our students with the best education possible while being fiscally responsible with our taxpayers' dollars.
Through social media, it was brought to the attention of the Clinton Township Board of Education and our administration that the Lebanon Borough School District published and distributed a letter to their parents regarding a potential action that would send their 7th and 8th grade students to another school. In that same letter, signed by both Lebanon Borough Superintendent of Schools and their Board of Education, we noted misstatements regarding our district's class size after the district's reorganization, lack of communication with their district, and historical information regarding an interlocal agreement whereby Clinton Township provided business office services to their district. The board and our administrative team were troubled to learn about this letter and the magnitude of errors that resided in it. Therefore, Michelle Cohn, our superintendent of schools, and myself met with the superintendent, the board president, and another member of the board of the Lebanon Borough School District on Wednesday, November 7th. Lebanon Borough's superintendent said that the letter was based on information that he had heard and that he had not spoken directly with anyone from our district regarding what he had heard. During our meeting, we shared with them that our class sizes have not increased with the reorganization of our district. We provided student data that included the number of sections, students, and average class size per grade level from the 2015 school year through the 2018-19 school year. In fact, our class sizes have not increased since 2009. The data presented clearly demonstrated that our class sizes have remained the same. The Clinton Township Board of Education takes communication very seriously, and when the Lebanon Borough Superintendent of Schools said that he had heard that there was a lack of communication, we asked Mrs. Cohn to search through all of Dr. Fiander, Dr. Villani's, and her own emails to see if the district had received any complaints or concerns or any emails from Lebanon Borough's administration or Board of Education. We also searched our board president's email as well. During that same meeting, we shared with Lebanon Borough that we did not have any evidence that our administration or members of their Board of Education had contacted members of our administration or Board of Education with a concern or complaint. In fact, Mrs. Cohen had not received a single phone call or email from Lebanon Borough since becoming acting superintendent for our district in July. Our research revealed no evidence that Lebanon Borough had shared concerns with our district's administration or Board of Education. Once we presented the information and dispelled allegations found in the letter, we had a very productive dialogue with our long-term partners from Lebanon Borough. Some of the items discussed included how we currently transition Lebanon Borough students into our middle school, Clinton Township School District's technology department's workings and relationship with connecting Lebanon Borough students to IEP Direct, Lebanon Borough students' involvement in our Move Up dance, additional opportunities to integrate Lebanon Borough students into our district and other services we could provide. Today, Mrs. Cohn and Mrs. Hinkle visited Lebanon Borough's superintendent and reviewed our existing support programs and extended several more beneficial services that are available. Current services that Lebanon Borough received from Clinton Township and that were reviewed with the superintendent of schools include, first, Clinton Township's Department of Special Services to Lebanon Borough. IEP Direct provided to Lebanon Borough School District at no cost to their entire school. Lebanon Borough students are input into PowerSchool at no charge, which was required in order for Lebanon Borough students to use IEP Direct. We share our school psychologist, we share our LDTC. They participate in our extended school year as incoming 7th grade students for all those that qualify. They participate in in-district solution counseling services provided to qualifying students, which includes both individual and group counseling services. In regards to the district's business office services to Lebanon Borough, our school district provides transportation information to Lebanon Borough for state and reporting purposes. We provide free and reduced lunch information provided by Clinton Township School Districts for state reporting purposes to Lebanon Borough. As far as the Clinton Township Technology Department, Clinton Township School District staff members reach out to Lebanon Borough for the purpose of setting up qualifying Lebanon Borough students for IEP Direct.
In regards to the transition planning that allows Lebanon Borough students to transition into our middle school with ease, Clinton Township Middle School counselors visit Lebanon Borough School to introduce and provide orientation to the Clinton Township Middle School during the springtime. It's coordinated through a Lebanon Borough Grade 6 teacher during the month of March. Counselors will reach out to a sixth grade teacher in Lebanon Borough in March to pick visitation days, one for Clinton Township School District to go to Lebanon Borough and the other for Lebanon Borough schools to come to Clinton Township Middle School. Prior to the Clinton Township's visit to Lebanon Borough, students share questions with their teachers on note cards or in Google Docs about the transition. When Clinton Township visits Lebanon Borough, an overview of the transition takes place, including information on classes, the Unified Arts Program, daily schedules, homework, buses, lunch, and co-curricular programs. At the end of the session, questions that students have are answered. When Lebanon Borough students visit Clinton Township Middle School, they meet in the cafeteria. Members of the Clinton Township Middle School staff in the areas of music, theater, and athletics speak with them about the music program and answer any questions about gym, sports, and clubs. The Clinton Township School District asks previous Lebanon Borough students or graduates currently in seventh grade or students identified as leaders by the seventh grade teachers to take them on a tour to attend one of their seventh grade classes. Lebanon Borough students also stay for lunch to become familiar with the buying options and process. All new grade 7 Lebanon Borough students are invited to the move up dance in the spring to meet their new friends and to begin the process of becoming a part of the Clinton Township School District family. Parents from Lebanon Borough tour with building administrators during the transition information night presentation. Our relationship with Lebanon Borough School District has been in existence since the early 80s. We are eager and happy to continue to work with Lebanon Borough School District by continuing to provide the quality services already in place. In addition, there are many more programs and services available to both Lebanon Borough's children and their staff that the Clinton Township School District has to offer. Our administrative staff and team of teachers will be reviewing those programs and services for the Lebanon Borough Board of Education and its superintendent of schools in early December. In regards to strategic planning, 5 years ago, members of the Clinton Township community, district parents, members of our administration, staff, and our Board of Education worked with Gwen Thornton, our New Jersey School Board's representative, to develop our district's 5-year strategic plan. The plan was developed over a series of meetings that took place during weekday evenings and one Saturday. This strategic plan has served as the foundation for how the district has focused on delivering and improving the academic, social and emotional, and behavioral well-being of our students over the last 5 years. The 5-year plan will be completed during this school year, and therefore it is time for all stakeholders in our community to gather once again to provide input into the development of the next 5-year strategic plan for the Clinton Township School District. We have scheduled the following dates with Ms. Thornton to come back into our district to develop and complete the district's plan. They are Tuesday, January 8th, Thursday, January 31st, Tuesday, February 12th, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Township Middle School. More information will follow in the next month. The Clinton Township Board of Education would like to pay special thanks to Mr. Rich Kilpatrick, School Business Administrator and Board Secretary, for his hard work and dedication to our district. In his very short time working with our district, Mr. Kilpatrick has played a key role in securing a successful implementation of the district's reorganization. With his rapid and professional response with assisting the mold challenges in the district, designing a very robust facilities plan for our district for the upcoming year and years to follow, and with managing and leading the district in several large facility projects over the summer. Mr. Kilpatrick, on behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, I would like to thank you for your hard work ethic and all that you have done for the district and students during the short period of time that you've been part of our community. We look forward to continuing to working with you in the future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Almost done. The Clinton Township Board of Education and our administration are committed to delivering the best education possible to the children in Clinton Township while being fiscally responsible with taxpayers' money. This task is becoming more and more difficult to accomplish each year. Clinton Township is no different than most other school districts in New Jersey. Our district, like many others, is facing sharp decline in student enrollment along with rising operating costs. Operating expenses such as the cost of health care continue to increase exponentially and are placing a huge drain on school finances. Managing an annual budget under a 2% cap is more difficult with each year passing. In order to manage the district's budget under a 2% cap, cope with consistent decline in our student enrollment and rising expenses, this past summer, as most are aware, the Clinton Township School District consolidated from 4 buildings to 3 over the summer. Soon after the district's reorganization, the district lost approximately $302,000 in state aid. The timeliness of the district's consolidation saved teachers' jobs and kept our class sizes at the same level they have been for many, many years. With the district's recent reorganization, we are in a better position both from an educational and financial perspective. However, we are still faced with rising expenses, a declining enrollment, and a 2% budget cap. The district must continue to explore options that will help us manage rising healthcare costs, such as an 18% increase during the 2019 year for approximately $400,000, increases in staff salaries, the potential for the implementation of the Cadillac tax, which may increase our budget by an additional $1,413,000, and the possibility of the state eliminating Chapter 78, potentially increasing our budget by $490,000, and this is to just name a few. To bring all of these expenses into perspective, our 2% budget cap is approximately $426,000. The district must continue to identify sources of revenue that will help offset our operating expenses while continuing to provide the highest level of education possible to the children in our community. As I said a few moments ago, we're not the only school district in New Jersey facing these challenges. In response to this systemic problem of declining enrollment and rising expenses, New Jersey State Senator Sweeney is recommending the following: that the state merge all K-4, K-5, K-6, K-8, and K-9 school districts into K-12 regional districts to improve the quality of education and promote efficiency. If this type of consolidation was implemented statewide, New Jersey's more than 600 districts would shrink to about half that number. His report cites the following data. While New Jersey ranks fourth in the nation in school spending per pupil, only 59.3% of that amount gets spent on instruction. New Jersey spends the higher percentage of its budgets on support services, including general administration and operations and maintenance, more than New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and 71% more per pupil than the nation as a whole. The recommendations made by Senator Sweeney are designed primarily to improve the quality of education. For example, standardizing curricula across the schools, and secondarily, to save money by cutting administrative costs. Schools that have an enrollment of 2,000 students or less are targeted for this consolidation. Like many of the schools here in Hunterdon County, we find ourselves on that list. The Senator's goal is not to close neighborhood schools, but to consolidate districts. He does not believe that forced regionalization is the preferred route to accomplishing this goal, and neither do we. Therefore, under the current climate in Trenton regarding district consolidation and the district's desire to continue to find sources of revenue to help offset rising expenses while providing the overall educational experience our students receive, we will be proactively researching consolidation scenarios and the potential for send-receive relationships. We believe that it is better to be proactive in this current educational climate, make decisions collectively with all of our stakeholders involved, instead of being told what to do by those in Trenton. The board is currently conducting a feasibility study looking at establishing send-receive relationships. This action and its associated discussions have been mentioned at prior board meetings. The
feasibility study will determine the educational, financial, and demographic implications of various scenarios and endeavor to answer the following questions. One, what educational benefit or benefits will the students receive by attending Clinton Township schools through a potential send-receive agreement? Two, what impact would a new agreement have on the students at Clinton Township? Three, how will a send-receive agreement impact the finances of potential districts? Four, how will a potential agreement impact the facilities of both districts, including the potential of the potential closure of an elementary school? Five, what operational issues such as transportation will need to be considered? And six, what are the other important considerations for the district as they enter into this agreement? When the study is complete, a special public meeting will be held and the data will be presented both to the board and the public to hear. Questions will be answered by an expert in the field, in this particular field. More information will follow. My report is finally completed this evening. I'd like to turn it over to our new superintendent of schools, Ms. Michelle Cohn. May we have your report, please?
You may. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. That's better. Our enrollment number as of today is 1,221. I'm always a comparative person, so I'd like to compare that to last November at this time. There were 42 more students. It was 1,263 last year at this time. Our suspension report, we had two half-day in-school suspensions at Round Valley School, and we had one day in-school suspension at CTMS, and this is corrected from the agenda you have in front of you, which I do believe states that there were two at CTMS. We also had one five-day out-of-school suspension at CTMS. We have first reading of HIBs. There is an additional HIB that is not on your agenda, which would be a first reading number 164904. Out of the first readings, there were four investigations at PMG. There was one investigation at Round Valley, and there was four investigations at CTMS, all of which were unfounded. We also have a second reading of a HIB. It's just one. I'd also like to update you on PMG and our process of remediation. We've went through the final process of our books. We had a book room that was impacted by the microbial growth this summer. All of those books had been removed. It was a leveled book room for, you know, student like small chapter books. They had all been removed and located off-site. Those books were wiped and sample sets of those books were tested. Finding no microbial growth, the books were returned to PMG. They happened to be in plastic bags. We were taking precautions to see if there was any growth, and there was none. The PMG facilities subcommittee that had been developed as an outgrowth of the issue this summer had continued to meet. They requested additional air quality testing, which has taken place, and results were acceptable air quality. Both of the testing from LEW Corporation for the books, as well as the additional air quality testing, are posted on our website. We also had a full district for our custodial maintenance personnel. It was a full-day training on mold identification and remediation. And so they participated in that. Many of those things that they can take care of for us, if they see it, they can take care of it, which was really nice. Facilities planning is well underway, taking into account the recommendations of that subcommittee at PMG and other personnel to plan facilities repairs and upgrades. Just want to say thank you to Mrs. Goad and her staff over at PMG for working together to make the recommendations. And to Mr. Kilpatrick for his time and attention as for this project, as well as continued planning for all of our facilities. And the last thing I'd like to mention is, and the most important, I believe, some programs for students coming up for the holiday season. You can mark your calendars, check dates. They'll be coming to you. They're on our websites for school concerts and events. They'll also be coming home to you in the weekly principal communications. So those are wonderful events. And it's, you know, the kids enjoy it. They do a terrific job.
It's really nice to see. So please mark your calendars and come out for those.
Thank you.
That's my report.
Thank you. Looking for a motion, please, for 19SU008.
Motion.
To 19SU010.
Sorry.
Mrs. Brooks, second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Foy. Any questions for Mrs. Cohen this evening?
I just have a question. Is the subcommittee going to continue to meet as
yes,
needed?
They will. And I think they meet monthly or bi-monthly. And they've continued to talk about the building, kind of prepare a list. And what's really nice is that there are staff who have been there and can say, oh, gee, this was an issue here. I'd like to look at that. It's been a really nice collaborative project for everybody. So we appreciate their time.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mrs. Cohen? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodagua is out. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or question or questions, it will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. I'm going to cut it off.
Sorry to do this to all of you, but I kind of have no choice. My name is Hope Dolan, and I live at 11 Charlotte Drive, which is off of Cokesbury Road, across the street from Round Valley School. I happen to have a manhole. You have a sewer easement that comes from Round Valley School through two other homes in my development, under my driveway, into my yard, and that water is emptied, and after it's been sanitized, but it's emptied back in a creek behind my house. Well, what happens is every couple years, the water backs up in the manhole cover. In 2014, they came and they dug everything up, cleared everything out. The engineers were there. So for 4 years, I was good. This goes back 2011. I came to a board meeting because I had a problem there too. When this started 2 months ago, I called and I talked to Dan Gordon. And he was there at my house that day. We looked at it, we talked about it. It's now 2 months later. I have made phone calls to Dan at least once a week. I have water flowing out of the manhole down in my property. There's inches of rain under my shed where I have to go in and out. I have written a letter to Mr. Kirkpatrick last week. I sent a copy to Dan Gordon. I have heard nothing. And it belongs to the Clinton Township School District. It's not mine. But the water keeps going, and I get no answer. So that's my story. That's why I've been sitting here.
don't recall getting a letter from you recently, but I will tell you what's been going on. When you identified that as a problem, we had people go visit your property. We had water pumped out of all the manholes along the way because there was a lot of water that was accumulating. We didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. We had the engineering department out. The engineering department said that it was known of the water that had been treated. It was all water seepage that was getting into the systems, the system of each coagulation of the water at each manhole. It just kept getting pushed down the system. And luckily, gladly, it was nothing of any kind of water from the treatment plant. It was all water from seepage. It was the recommendation of the engineering firm that we had nothing to do because it was a seepage problem. We couldn't correct it other than ripping up the whole system and redoing the piping in the system.
Right.
And it's my understanding that this does not happen on a regular basis. It's a once in a long time basis. And from what you just said here, it happened 4 years ago. We did have a very unusual amount of rain this whole season to the point where it was causing problems all over the state. So we were just following the recommendation of the engineer, which was you can't do anything to change the water seepage. Water seepage happens because there's a lot of rain.
So my understanding is, in the back of my property, there is water. I mean, if you want to see pictures of what I have, you're welcome to see pictures. And this is where the water has seeped out under my shed. So it's supposed to be okay for me to have this in my backyard from the school district. If I want to put my house on the market, I'm going to say, well, yeah, you have a manhole back there and the water bubbles up.
Well, I mean, the only thing I would say is that we have looked at options that we could do. I believe one of the options was that we put a pipe across to a different angle to get to a different the place that goes different
in my yard.
Well, that was an option that we had, you know, contemplated. But my understanding is that you refused that. So I
said I didn't want another pipeline done.
Okay.
To me, it's a band-aid on a problem that comes from your sewer treatment across the street through other property, and it ends up in my yard. It's in my property. It's my lawn. It's where I go.
Mr. Kilpatrick, can we just have the engineering firm look again mm-hmm. at it?
And then,
absolutely.
And that's what I asked for when I wrote the letter and I talked to Dan.
And then we can get back to her.
Absolutely.
We can do that.
I appreciate
it
because I don't hear back from anybody.
Can you follow up with me? Can you follow up with that letter that you said you sent to me?
Yes, I have.
If you could forward it to me, that would be great. And my understanding, just, I want to thank you for just providing the pictures. Do you want me to keep these pictures?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Amy Marks. I live at 5 Cottonwood Court, Clinton, New Jersey. My daughter is a fifth grader at our school district here. We have the best teachers, I think, in the entire world. I say that every time I get up here because it's actually true. I have a couple of comments on tonight, which is, I think we've had actually 5 superintendents in the last 8 years, is my understanding. I'm sure you're very lovely. I've watched you over the last couple meetings, but I understand also the process of how this was done. What I wanted to know is, what is it different this time versus the last 5 times we've done this? Because I really care about results. That's what I care about. Not what you think you did, not why this one left and that one left and what we're doing. We have a terrible track record, either in picking or keeping people here. There's no one here that can dispute that. Nobody. What was different this time than the last 5 failures, because let's call them failures, right? Anyone who owns a company or manages a company, if you had that kind of amount of people in and out in a revolving door, would see this only as a failure. So I really wanted to know that. I heard the comment of merit-based, I didn't hear merit-based pay or bonus structure. I don't know what the package is for the superintendent. I would like to know, based on what I just saw from this pseudo-facilitated session, what the plan is for what you're judging our new superintendent on and how that's going to work, because we've obviously not done well in that. I think the categorization of the conversation with the Lebanon representatives that you had a conversation with, to be honest, if I were them sitting here, I would be kind of appalled. Like, heard and just the tonality of the conversation, I just don't think that's very professional in having a conversation with the stakeholders and what happened. The way I'd look at it like this, we get, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, we get funds from their kids attending our schools. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm correct before I make my next statement. Feel free to say yes, no, don't say anything else. I look at people like that as customers. I like that you look back and said, how many times have they called us? I don't know, if we're making money from them, how many times did you call them? What did we do to communicate with them, to make them feel welcome? You know, people just don't put out letters haphazardly. So to be honest, I just don't believe that whole regurgitation of how that conversation went. There was a meeting that happened. Rachel said, like, one of the goals they want for the superintendent is to look at revenue-generating things for our district. I don't want that at all. I want them to educate my kids. That's what I want. I want to make sure my...
Well, to maintain educational programs. That's why I said that.
Okay. I don't really think this is an economic business development group. Like, honestly, I care about my kids being educated. And the last thing I will say is, I've heard you slip in something about school closing feasibility in this meeting. Like, I would hope you're going to do a better job at if that's actually happening. Like, I caught a little whiff of the wind of a feasibility level report.
3 minutes is up.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? No, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor to the first recognition of the public. The same parameters I mentioned a few moments ago exist here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Nope, seeing none, we'll close the floor and move on to the report of our business administrator, Mr. Kilpatrick. Mr. Kilpatrick, sir?
Yes. Pull it up here for a second. I just wanted to give you a little report on the transportation. There's two areas we're continuing to work on. That's the late arrival of several buses that had occurred. We're trying to improve, because we've improved already, by 5 to 7 minutes, those buses coming in the morning. We're trying to improve them even more so that there's more prep time for the students coming into their lockers and getting ready for their homerooms. So how we're doing that is we're moving times up for the buses at the Clinton Township Middle School, and then the students will be let off earlier and be brought into the school at that time. Those buses can then get released and move out to their routes for RVS. We're also trying to continue to work on the departure times at Patrick McGarren, more of it as a convenience for some outlying families that have students that are so far away that almost no matter what you do, they're going to get there late if there's other types of routes or other stops they have to make along the way. So we've asked Huntington County ESC to reach out for quotes to see if we can get another route, another bus to do a route specifically for them and probably offshoot some other stops along the way for them so that we can get those kids, those children home earlier every day. The last thing I just wanted to report about was the snow removal process here in the district. I was pretty amazed. I'm a real fanatic about snow removal. I've been doing it my whole life in reference to people's houses that I have and friends and families. And we did not lose one parking spot in all 4 schools that we have. And that's an amazing thing when you think about snow. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of snow. We didn't have, 12 inches or a foot or more than that. But there was a good 7 to 8 inches after the storm. And even though it rained afterwards, we did not lose one parking spot, which is a pretty amazing barometer of the storm, of the cleaning out of the storm. And obviously, you know, all the walkways and everything were clear, so. I just wanted to commend our staff for that. And unfortunately, because of the driving conditions out west, we and several staff had to hang out and stay here Friday night because they just couldn't get home. So we had, they accommodated themselves in the nurses' facility. So we wanted to just appreciate them for doing the work that they are getting paid for, but it was, I think, a little above and beyond getting the work done under the conditions everyone had for trying to get home Friday night. So thank them. That's it.
Okay. Yep. Looking for motion, please, for 19BA013 to 19BA015.
Motion.
Motion. Dr. Foy, second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Olowski. Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodakula is out. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move on to the reports of our committees. First committee report is Facilities and Finance. Mr. Kevin Malloy is the chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, may we have your committee's report, please?
Yes. Facilities and Finance met in person on the 13th of November last week. The bulk of the discussion, as the president referenced earlier, was on the budget process and setting up meetings. We also spoke audit, security, other items, maintenance, transportation. 18 items on the agenda, one amendment of a prior item from the September meeting, staff continuing in business travel, renewal of subscriptions, a couple of donations, including a bus for additional transportation needs, donations for student activities, 5 IEP approval items, 3 grant application items. We're going to give Mr. Kilpatrick permission to start advertising bids for the HVAC system upgrade at PMG, a couple of signatory items, payment of bills, and addition of transportation for field trips. So with that, I would like to move 19FF114 through 19FF132.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Malloy? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
I abstain from 19FF-114, and yes on everything else.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rodakula is out. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our second committee report this evening, personnel and negotiations. Ms. Olowski is the chair of that committee. Ms. Olowski, we have your committee's report, please.
Yes. The personnel committee met once since the October board meeting, and there are 21 action items this month. Of note, the board would like to welcome the following new employees for the 18-19 school year: Caitlin O'Connor, Virginia Del Prado, Dylan Ottinger, and Dennis Simon. We wish them well in their new positions. The board accepts with regret Catherine Miller's request for service termination as PMG Inclusion Grade 1 teacher, effective December 31st, 2018, and announcement of her deferred retirement date of May 1st, 2020. There's an action item to approve an employee's leave of absence. There is also an action item to approve payment for support staff additional hours worked during the opening school days. There are several action items to approve: the girls' assistant basketball coach, CTMS drama club chaperones, CTMS basketball game scorekeepers, school nurse services during CTMS dances and or ski club trips, one nurse per event, Round Valley school event chaperones, PMG Arts Fest, PMG concerts, celebrations, and field days, and CTMS drama club volunteers, pending clearance from their background checks. There are several amendments to the following prior action items. I apologize, I'm going to read through them all. 19-PN-046 to correct the contractual annual salary for one employee. 19-PN-060 and 087 to correct the positions and leave of absence end dates for two employees. 19-PN-058 and 081 to correct the pay rate for two employees. 19-PN-014 and 038 to correct the contractual step on the salary guide. And 19-PN-089 to correct the assistant baseball coach stipend based on employee experience. With that, I'd like to put forth a motion for action items 19-PN-095 through 115.
Thank you, Ms. Zaleski. Looking for a second, please?
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions for Ms. Zaleski this evening? No, seeing none. May we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Zaleski?
Yes.
Mrs. Radagava is out. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our final committee report this evening, policy and curriculum. Mrs. McLaughlin, your committee, may we have your report, please?
Yes, the policy and curriculum committee has met one time since the last meeting via conference call. We have 10 action items this evening. A few action items to note. We are going to be approving the district's 31st year of participation in the Camden Collection. Each year, Mount Valley School collects items for children in need, and 6 staff members travel to a school in Camden and distribute these worthwhile and needy items. The particular school that we donate to has been very appreciative over the years. We are also appreciative that the staff has maintained this long-standing community initiative. There will be some action items regarding English language arts, staff development, regarding safety. There will be a training by Lieutenant Kevin Bird from the prosecutor's office for a number of our staff members. We're approving the emergency evacuation drill that occurred on October 23rd. We are announcing our preschool lottery for the next school year. It will be held on February 22nd at 2:30 p.m. There will be a snow date of February 28th, 2019. There's also going to be a preschool information night at Spruce Run School on January 24th from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock for the upcoming school year. We're also approving crisis prevention intervention, CPI training, for a number of our staff members. We are going to be approving 2 additional days of math professional development workshops with the Inspired Instruction, and we have a first reading of a board policy on committees. With that being said, I want to move action items 19PC26 through action 19PC35.
Second.
Motion, Ms. McLaughlin, second. Ms. Brooks, any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening?
I guess I'll ask the lottery. With the space available, is there any consideration for actually expanding so they don't need a lottery?
For preschool?
I believe that's probably possible. We'll have to, I'll get back to you on that. They typically run a lottery, but I need to conduct a little bit more investigation with our director.
Okay. Any other questions? Oops, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Ford?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Zaleski?
Yes.
Mrs. Radagava is out. Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Feasibility of closing school ad hoc committee has nothing to report this evening. I'd like to move on to old business of the board. Does any member of the board have any old business they'd like to bring up? Nope, seeing none. Any new business?
I have new business. I just want to announce that you probably would have seen in your emails, December 4th, Hunterton and Somerset School Boards Association is holding an event at Somerville High School. Topics will include funding of school finance, board actions that impact student achievement, and advances in school law. So I always like, if anyone would like to join me, dinner is served. And they're very educational, and I would welcome the new board members. I see some of them here tonight. When you join the board, they're really worthwhile to attend and learn a lot about the topics that are happening across the state.
Thank you. Any other new business? No, seeing none. I'd like to open the floor to second recognition of the public. Same parameters as I mentioned in agenda items only. By here, if you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone. Limiting this section to 10 minutes. No, seeing none.
Mr. Kilpatrick, the most favorite part of the meeting for you. Can you read your executive session statement?
Yes, for the second time this evening. Whereas while the Senator Byron and the Open Public Community Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et cetera, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public. NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance, shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, etc., attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business, now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken.
Thank you. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is reconvened. Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting adjourned.